Chapter 57. Denny and Toshio.
I'm afraid.
Almost without a thought, Toshio put his arm around Denny's shoulder. He gave her a reassuring squeeze.
What for? There's nothing to be scared of.
Denny looked up from the pounding breakers to see if he was serious. Then she realized she was being teased. She stuck out her tongue at him. Toshio inhaled deeply and was content. It wasn't clear to him where his new semi-relationship with Denny was going. It wasn't physical, for one thing. They had slept together last night, but fully clothed. Toshio had thought it would be frustrating, and it was, sort of, but not as much as he had expected. It would work out, one way or another. Right now, Denny needed someone to be nearby. It was satisfying just filling that need. Maybe when all this was over, she would go back to thinking of him as a boy, 4 years her junior. Somehow he doubted it. She was touching him more now, rather than less, holding his arm and punching him in mock anger, even as shivers from the Psi-bomb episode faded.
When are they supposed to get here with the longboat?
She looked back over the ocean once more.
Late tomorrow, sometime, he answered.
Takata, Jim, and Metz wanted to negotiate with the Edies. What's to stop them if they decide to ignore orders and try anyway?
Jillian's giving them only enough power to get here. They have a regenerator, so they'll be able to charge up for space travel in a month or so. But by then, Streaker'd be gone, one way or another.
Denny shivered slightly. Toshio cursed his awkward tongue.
Takata Jim won't have a radio. I'm to guard ours until the skiff comes to pick us up. Besides, what could he offer the Galactics? He won't have any of the charts marking the derelict fleet.
My guess is he and Metz will wait until everybody leaves, then scuttle off to Earth with Metz's tapes and a hold full of gripes.
Denny looked up at the first stars of the long Kithroop twilight.
Are you going back? She asked.
Streaker's my ship. Thank God Kredaki is still alive, but even if he's not skipper anymore, I owe it to him to keep on, as one of his officers should.
Denny glanced up at him briefly, then nodded and looked back out at the sea.
She's thinking we haven't a chance, Toshio realized.
And maybe we don't. Wearing a Thenanin battle wagon as a disguise, we'll have all the maneuverability of a Calafian mud gleaner. And even fooling the Galactics might not be so good an idea. They want to capture Streaker, but they won't hold back their fire if they see a defeated enemy climbing back up for another round. There still have to be Thenanin around if the scheme is to work.
But we can't just sit here waiting, can we? If we do, the Galactics will learn that they can push Earthlings around. We just can't afford to let anyone profit from chasing one of our survey ships.
Denny seemed worried. Toshio changed the subject.
How's your report coming?
Oh, all right, I guess. It's clear the Kikwi are fully presentient. They've been fallow a very long time. In fact, some Darwinist heretics might think they were just getting ripe to bootstrap themselves. They show some signs.
Some iconoclast humans still push the idea that a pre-sentient race could make the leap to spacefaring intelligence by evolution alone, without the intervention of a patron. Most Galactics thought the idea absurd and strange, but the failure to find humanity's missing benefactor had gained the theory a few adherents.
What about the metal mound? Toshio asked about Denny's other research, begun at Charlie Dart's behest when the chimp had been given top priority, but pursued now out of interest.
Denny shrugged. Oh, the mound's alive. The professional biologist in me would give her left arm to be able to stay a year on this island with full laboratory equipment to study it.
the metal-eating pseudo-coral, the drill tree, the living core of the island, are all symbionts. In effect, they're organs in one giant entity. If I could only write it up at home, I'd be famous. If anyone believed me. They'll believe you, Toshio assured her, and you'll be famous. He motioned that they should start heading back to camp. They only had a little time after second supper to walk and talk. Now that he was in command, he had to make sure that timetables were kept. Denny held his arm as they turned to return to the encampment. Over the rushing rustle of the wind through the foliage came the intermittent squeaks of the natives, rousing from their siesta to prepare for the evening hunt. They walked in silence along the narrow trail.